another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addie and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addie.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, and I'd like to announce right now that I'm wearing skinny jeans, and at least on me anyways, apparently.
How many pairs are you wearing?
False advertising, apparently. I thought it was a miracle cure.
No.
No?
Not when you eat Miracle Whip.
Oh, I eat Miracle Whip light. Yeah, five jars.
With
but
your,
still.
With your Diet Coke.
Yes. All right. What
talk
are we doing?
Wrestling.
Fuck it. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Remember when Jerry Lawler had a heart attack?
Nope.
Oh.
But you know what? If I could see a video that would remind me.
If you could see a gruesome, detailed video, might I add, for the first time.
Yes.
To remind you. Wouldn't that be just wonderful?
Yes.
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 I mean,
reminiscent of when they brought up Brian Pillman's wife?
When they brought... on Brian Pillman's wife.
What?
When they brought up Brian...
They brought out, you know, when they did that... Whatever,
yeah,
when they talked to her.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It was... I was all ready, actually, to send you a text.
Oh, yeah?
When Lawler come out. I mean, they did that video, but then Lawler actually come to the ring. And he gave his speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know... And I was actually going to... I was going to say a topic we should have talked about was other times, because it didn't happen very often, when WWF, WWE, had been really classy. Because I thought... Lawler coming up and really having that real emotion and breaking up and talking about it at the time, I thought, you know, this is a moment. This is a really good wrestling moment, a la the Shawn Michaels retirement speech, a la the Bret Hart giving that closure in Phoenix after, you know, when they, even when they gave the Owen chant to Bret in that Raw after WrestleMania in Phoenix, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the quote, good moments. And then even when...
I'm hard-pressed to think of five of those.
I know. But then even when Cult of Personality plays and Punk is coming down, I didn't immediately hate it.
No.
I thought, okay, this makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
And Lawler got right out of the ring, right? It was... I mean, people are talking about... with scathing hatred of this.
Yeah.
And massive disrespect. I just thought it was retarded.
I didn't think it was retarded. How would I explain it? The video was uncomfortable to watch.
That part was, yes.
I didn't care by the time Lawler came out. The Lawler thing really didn't last long.
No.
Punk's music played. I was expecting it. I think that's what they do. I was thinking that.
Yeah.
I had no problem with him coming out. Problem with saying to him, try not to croak before Survivor Series, and who cares how long you were dead. I had problems with those two lines. But more than anything, I had problems that, like, Heyman's fake heart attack just wasn't entertaining. It's like, all this is okay if it's really good.
Yeah.
Or really creates money. Or really get somebody over. And it didn't really succeed, so it sucks. So I just think in this day and age, you're missing your audience. It's a different audience. Audience knows this is real now. So it used to be when there'd be a heart attack like this, they would still be thinking to themselves, oh, it's a work, you know. And I don't think people, I'm not sure 20 years ago people would have really trusted that was a real heart attack. Like, I still don't know that they would have. But today they know it is, so they kind of are in on it, and they kind of go, you know what, I'm glad the guy's back, and I want to give him the moment. It's kind of something not just for Lawler, it's something for the fans, and I know you're thinking that's the best time to get heat. Truthfully, though, I think you're misreading your audience. The audience sometimes just wants to feel good about something.
Well, but like you said, when I say it was retarded, yeah, it sucked. It was bad television.
Yeah,
it wasn't defensive, it wasn't heat creating, it wasn't changed. It was changed
the
channel.
And the thing is, it did create the wrong kind of heat because people changed the channel during that segment, but also when Punk came out and wrestled the main event,
yeah.
people didn't watch. It created the wrong type of heat. And I just look at everything they're doing with Punk. I look at that. I look at the end when Cena and Ryback are holding, doing the tug of war, and he
yeah.
comes up and he's like, "Oh, that's my belt," and the crowd laughs.
Oh, my belt. Yeah.
Like, come on, guys, give me my belt back.
Yeah.
And the crowd laughs again. He does it twice. And I'm thinking, you guys have just fucked this up. Like, if this of, like, every time to me they're putting Punk on the screen right now, they're chipping away a couple percentage points what the buy rate will be against The Rock at Royal Rumble.
Well, what do you think is going to happen when The Rock fights The Miz? Because that's apparently what Vince McMahon knows now as a top heel, that he's molding all these guys after, because eventually that's just what they become, are these chicken shit heels.
Yeah.
And it's bad for business. I mean, if and when, because I can't believe I said that the Heyman thing was retarded. I mean, I can't believe that the WWE is retarded enough to not have CM Punk retain on Sunday. I mean,
yeah.
I can't see. It wouldn't surprise me, because they've done retarded things, and I don't have a lot of confidence in them. But I can't see them being that stupid.
No,
seems unlikely. Should they not be that stupid?
Yeah.
Next Monday on Raw.
Yeah.
Will be day 365.
Yeah.
And, like you said, they're whittling away at this buy rate against The Rock. They're whittling away at that meaning as well.
They are. They're absolutely. It's just. They're not getting it. There's the wrong kind of heat. There's the kind of heat where, number one, I think he said there's go away heat. If he had come out and he had said, you know what, enough of you hijacking my show. I'm glad you're back, but the show's not about you. It's about me, because you're just an announcer. Go back to doing an average job. I'm going to go back to being the best in the world.
Yeah.
And that would have been enough for everybody to go, you know what, you just pissed on his moment. But you didn't piss on him.
Yeah.
You didn't piss on the heart attack.
And
it would have created some heel heat. That would have been fine. What they did was made you go, what a dick, I don't want to watch you. And there's a different kind of heat. And it's the same thing. It's not I want to see somebody punch this guy. It's just, I don't want to watch this guy.
Well, with Paul Heyman doing that heart attack. Again, I just go back to,
it's so cheap. It's so easy to do. It doesn't take any brain.
But it was bad.
And it's bad.
It's nothing clever.
It's nothing.
No.
It's not entertaining.
It's bad. I'm trying to think.
I'm not offended. Like, the thing that offends me the most, for me personally, is probably that Dr. Heine skit.
Okay,
always been for me. I've always found that way more offensive than this.
But, okay, let's look at that.
Then there's the Eddie's Dead, there's the Katie Vick. The different things that they've done that you go, oh, that's just...
Well, Katie Vick, okay, when he fucks the coffin. Again, that was just bad. You look at...
And Dr. Heine, incredibly bad.
Dr. Heine,
yes,
was bad, but that was long. Yeah, I think that was more drawn along. I look at that election sketch when Vince is in the hospital bed and has the Blumenthal thing on there at the end. That, again, was bad.
Well,
some of the lines were funny until he got up and had Blumenthal over his ass, but,
yeah.
I mean, that was bad, but,
what's his name, they played Oklahoma in WCW, making
yeah.
fun of Rock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's bad,
yeah.
So that makes it's offensive, but it's also bad, which makes it worse.
Yeah.
Vince doing the imitation of Ross and his belt palsy,
yeah.
just a few weeks ago there
with
in the backstage
hat.
With Hornswoggle.
Bad.
It's just bad.
Yeah.
And so that's it's offensive, but it's really hard to get away with it if you're going to offend me and not entertain me.
Again, the heart attack thing didn't offend me because it was just so stupid.
Well, it didn't offend me because the reason I don't think it really offended me, like, I'm watching Dr. Heine, and they're making fun of the serious health issues that Cher was having at the time.
Yeah, at the time, like almost at the moment.
Almost at the moment. I know that offended JR, whereas I knew as I'm watching this that Lawler's in on this and wants to do this. Like, he's gung-ho, like, you know.
I mean, I would be, I would be hard-pressed not to believe that had this happened in, like, 1989 in Memphis,
yeah,
that they wouldn't have done the same thing.
Not the same way, but they would have used it.
Yeah.
They would have found a way to use it.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
I think so.
Maybe not quite the same way, maybe not quite the first night, but they would have used it.
Yeah.
And that's understandable. And I don't even mind that. That's rustling.
Oh, and Lawler didn't mind either. I mean, everybody signed off on this.
See, Dr. Heine, when they're doing that with JR, I know JR wasn't comfortable with that. I could just know JR's personality.
Yeah.
He's not thinking. That's just... And so that's, to me, far more offensive. Eddie, Randy Orton saying Eddie's dead.
No, Eddie's in hell.
Eddie's in hell, yeah. That was bad.
And that bothered a lot of people at the time.
It did.
I mean, this, I don't think, again, because it was bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't really, I mean, it's not offensive, it's just, it's stupid, is what it is. And that's kind of how I need to...
What was it in TNA? There was something with Jeff Jarrett that he did, and they did, that referenced, it might have referenced his dead wife or something like that, and it was just really, really poor taste.
Yeah, I do remember, you know, whatever it was. Yeah, I remember something about that where he referenced her, and it was...
Like, it's not just WWE, but the point is, it's just not... At no point in time, like, it's one thing, if when this is all over, I sit there and go, okay, Survivor Series on Sunday was going to do 220,000, and now it's going to do 270.
Yeah.
Then it's justifiable. I can say, if I can say The Rock is and him were going to do 350, and now it's going to do 450. It's justifiable. When I sit there and go, it was going to do 350, now it's going to do 325.
Yeah.
When I sit there and go that this was going to do 220, now it's going to do 170.
I don't think. I
or 190.
I think it was going to do 220, and it's going to do 220. I mean,
I think it's going to do 190.
Actually,
you know what? Domestic, I think it's going to do 170.
But it was going to do 170. I don't think this has.
I think it's going to do. I think it was probably going to do 190. It's going to do 170.
Any,
I think it drops it.
I don't think it drops it at all. I don't think it has any bearing one way or another. Which is what makes it.
We'll see
stupid.
Though, because
we won't see, and that's the thing, because there's no DeLorean to hop in your time machine and not know what the buy rate was going to be before this to what the buy rate is going to be there, right?
We'll see, though, if we'll have a sense from TV patterns and from buy rates this and going forward if Punk is losing drawing power, and this is a portion of it. And that's what I mean when I say we'll see.
I don't know. I think the rating is going to stay flat if they did this or not. And I think, again, this is just...
They lost people twice for him. It's something to keep an eye on. But either way, they're just making him less of a star.
Is that where the main event is?
The Ion. Yeah, but they're making him, like I say, somebody you just...
That part, I mean, again...
Undeserving champion who's had the title for a year. Makes the company look bad.
That was the fucking thing, is that he was the best in the world, and he could back it up because you might hate him, but you could back it up because he's had the title for 300 and whatever days. Now, the fact is he's had the title for 300 and whatever days, but he's playing the chicken shit, so it totally negates that.
Yeah.
And it's just like... That
an undeserving champion defending against The Rock isn't money.
Talk about him, and we compared him to Bret Hart because there had to be an element of truth to what he was saying, even though you didn't like it. And now there isn't.
Yeah.
Now that character is gone. Now he's just a sports entertainer.
Just a sports entertainer, and it's just, like I say, there's just, it's not, he's not overly clever, there's nothing, it's just...
What a difference a year and a half makes, huh?
Yeah, no kidding, he's just... Whatever, I don't give a shit if he wins or loses the belt.
Let's fast forward.
You didn't make me want to see him lose the belt by doing this. You just made me think, fuck, you guys are idiots. Boring, move on.
Now, let's just
it's not just him. I have to say,
Foley now, because Foley was the next to come out. So what did you think of Foley's performance?
So here's what the thing. Well, Foley was good, you know. But he comes out there and he does this to Lawler. So you don't have your number one babyface come out, or your number two, or your number three, or your number five, or your number 10. You have a retired guy who hasn't been relevant in years.
It's time to start the music. It's time to light the light.
You have a Muppet
come
out.
It's time to get started on the Muppet Show tonight.
No, it's true.
And he's even wearing green.
Yeah. Like this is what you brought out to take on your champion. It's just, no offense to Foley, it's just, that's the best you got?
Yeah.
Well, you said it to me as we're getting ready here. Cody Rhodes has as we went to go to get Mucho Burritos.
Yes.
We'll see how this goes tonight.
Mm-hmm.
As we started watching Survivor Series 1989, and we're enjoying that way more than we're going to enjoy this.
I think I saw Ubitude there.
Yeah, probably.
High in the corner.
Is he now Filipino?
Mm-hmm. He's not allowed in there anymore.
Oh. Anyways, what the fuck was I saying?
I don't know.
Cody Rhodes, yeah. Cody Rhodes, you said, oh, you hear, since he's got a concussion, mm-hmm. who might be his replacement, Tensai. And then you looked at me and said, what depth problem?
Yes.
You need somebody to come out, and you already have Cena scheduled for this AJ bullshit. You're not going to send out Randy Orton, apparently. So you're not going to send out Ryback?
Well, no, you're not going to send out Ryback. I mean, it's a promo.
What depth problem?
You're right. Yeah. I know, right?
It's just.
But they've turned the Miz.
But here's, okay, technically, and this, I guess this is a thing. You put on a 3-hour show, you're going to have stuff probably that I like and I don't like.
Right.
It's going to be really tough for you to put on 3 hours that is great. It's going to be really tough for you to shit the bed for 3 hours straight, too.
Wow. I don't know that.
So there's stuff I like. Everything that they view as main event or near main event,
yeah.
I hate. This Miz thing is in the second semi-main event. It's part of the Survivor Series thing, this Miz babyface turn, and I hate it. AJ, John Cena, Vicky is main event to them. I hate it. Ryback, just he was awful. This is the best thing for Ryback. Put him out there for 10 minutes against somebody and expose how little offense he has and how the crowd only cheers when they know something big's about to happen because they're entertaining themselves.
But you're putting him up against Brad Maddox.
Yeah.
A guy that's probably just as equal as those jobbers they used to give promos to in Ryback.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, nobody knows this fucking
I hate
Maddox.
This. So this is main event stuff for them. I hate this. And then there's the, Punk, this Punk stuff from Foley. This is all main event to them as well, and I hate this. So everything to do with main event or very close to main event, this talk the card stuff,
yeah.
I hate. And then you got the tag team stuff, and I think that's great. And then you got the Sheamus and Big Show, and I think that's great.
I will say.
And then you got the Del Rio and Orton. I really like that.
Yeah.
And even while I don't like it because the depth and talent isn't there, the way they book the women's stuff is the booking has been good. It's just the depth and talent isn't there.
I have no problem with the story they're telling.
No,
the depth,
none whatsoever. And so, again, it comes back to, I'm really liking everything that's not main event generally in WWE. But everything that's main event, I'm really hating.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, it's Nitro, right? But you look at, the tag thing, I like tag teams. Team Hell No is, I'm ready for that to be
over. It's not Nitro. I know what you're saying.
Just the undercard you like in the main event, you don't.
No, but the difference was I was interested in the story of those main events still. The booking and the story that when Nitro was at its best was still fine for the main event. It's just that the guys couldn't really go in the ring because they either weren't that talented or they were too old.
Yeah.
Right? This isn't even that. This is shitty leading up to those.
Yes.
These guys aren't bad in the ring. I mean, I'm not sitting there thinking, that this is going to be a bad three-way. It'll probably be decent. It'll probably be a 3-star match, 2.5-star match. It'll be all right.
You know what I think we should do? Because inevitably it seems at the TLC pay-per-view that you're going to have John Cena against Dolph Ziggler go one-on-one. What I would like to do, at WrestleMania 7,
mm-hmm.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake took on Mr. Perfect.
And
I think we should watch that match first.
You know what? I think we should, and then decide which was a better match.
Decide which one is better. Or, if we put the mute on the commentating, decide if we can tell.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
I just think that, I mean, inevitably that could be talk of Foley fighting Punk at TLC as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, he's going to get the felt knocked out of him. But
he's a Muppet. Yeah. But you know what, he's not playing the Muppet character right now. Right now he's not the, the QC.
I thought his delivery was great. I thought it was kind of slightly uncomfortable, but it was meant to be.
Yeah.
You know, he was dead. You know, he's dead. He was dead.
Yeah.
You know, but I thought that it was powerful, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
But it didn't lead anything. It didn't mean anything.
No,
it's like,
it doesn't mean anything.
It's
and you know what? Honest to God, if you're going to do Punk versus Foley, a TLC for fuck's sakes?
Tables match?
TLC, for fuck's sakes?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Mick Foley. Mick Foley means nothing anymore. Really, he doesn't, I mean...
The only reason I think you do it is because when Punk gets over on him and beats him up, and he's bloody, and rock and sock. He comes across as the strong heel who's just beat up this legend. Rock and sock. Unfortunately, he's not this strong heel who's going to beat up this legend. He's fucking CM Punk the pussy.
Yeah. I know, but, yeah. Isn't that what the P stands for?
Yeah.
But, CM Pussy?
Chicago Punk. Or
yeah.
CM.
Yeah.
CM Pussy.
Chicago Made Pussy?
Chicago Made Pussy,
yeah.
Him and Hillary Scott.
There you go.
Yeah.
Not Oprah. but I think that the only reason, I bet you that what they could realistically be thinking, and I'm not even kidding when I say this, is that what's the biggest thing being promoted in WWE right now?
AJ versus Cena.
No, I mean the biggest thing overall in their whole company. What are they pushing the hardest right now? And I see them all over television when I'm watching shows. That fucking video game.
Yeah, the WWE 13.
Yeah, and I mean it's smart because of Christmas, right?
Yeah.
But again, what's the video game? Punk versus the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
So he fights Foley.
Yeah, because he can't get Austin.
Well, and again, Austin in TLC makes absolutely no sense. Foley is, again, Foley's just used up and he's just another guy. Right?
I disagree with that. Since he's come back to WWE from TNA, I don't think he's had a one-on-one match, has he?
I don't think so, no.
Wasn't he in something like some sort of tag match or something? But not really.
I don't know.
It's all in the promotion. This is the same
Did
guy.
Did he tag with Brodus Clay?
I don't know.
At Raw 1000? At Dude
Love? Something like that.
I don't think he tagged.
But the point is, though, I know what you're saying, that he's used up, he's washed up.
Yeah.
No, you know, the guy knows how to build a storyline. He knows how to, he's a great promo. He has a history in the legend. If you do it the right way, much like they were able to do the Orton versus him, mean something, because before that he had been the Muppet for like 3 years, 4 years, even before he was the Orton thing, you know?
Yeah, the commissioner, right?
Yeah, exactly. But they were able to, I think you can still do that, because I think he can do that for himself. It's probably a better way to do it.
Well, as I was going to say, he has to do it, because when you say, I think they could do it, They cannot.
Yeah.
They're fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't... look at the pay-per-view. I mean, you get Survivor Series, the fourth biggest pay-per-view of the year historically.
Yeah.
Right? And we've got five matches. Mm-hmm. We have one actual Survivor Series match. And then we've got maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
They may be throwing in a Survivor Series elimination rematch from Raw with those two tag teams, right?
Oh, okay.
With, the prime
That'd be
tag.
Great. I'd love to see that. I mean, that'd be action-wise.
Filler, but I mean, yeah.
At least it's entertaining action-wise, right?
But again, that'd be 4-on-4.
Yeah.
And then you've got a 5-on-5 Survivor Series there. But
whatever.
I mean, so again, consistency. But still, you've got one of those, a useless U.S. title match that nobody gives a fuck about.
Yeah.
A women's match that's buffering will suck. A world heavyweight championship match that revolves around a guy who's never gotten a main event push and has been a NXT broadcaster for the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, William Regal is the crux right now of that.
But I do think if they keep William Regal with Sheamus permanently, that that's going to be good for Sheamus.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it can't definitely can't hurt at all.
Yeah.
But him just getting blasted by the Big Show over and over. And by the way, I haven't even mentioned this, but they go to that fucking, he gets beat up at the bar when they go for drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this fucking cell phone cam footage
mm-hmm.
on the screen that's like 2 inches by 2 inches on my fucking 50-inch television.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you talked about how people know it's real now.
Yeah.
You know, or it's not real, or that what it is. Right?
Yep.
And then they go and they do that bullshit.
Yep.
Like, oh, it's real, they're fun. Fuck off.
Yeah, no, it's
fuck true. Right off. I watched the APA get into bar fight after bar fight.
Yep.
And a fucking full-on camera crew was there.
Oh, I can't tell you how many fucking times I've seen a fight in the bar in wrestling. I saw it in WCW. I saw it with Austin and Eddie.
Yeah, it took nothing away from it.
I never thought of it.
No, exactly.
Never
that's
fucking
what I mean.
Thought of it.
And now you got his fucking cell phone footage, so you just look nothing
also,
but all red.
Also, the same thing. It's like, hey, on this show, hey, you're my friend, you're my friend. Let's go out for beer. And then next week, hey, this guy's beating up my friend. Okay, it's not like it's a long-term relationship. It's not like this is, like, Shawn Michaels and Jose Lothario.
Yeah.
Was the right idea that it was somebody who was with him for the right time? So if Jose Lothario was somebody people liked when Sid hits him with the camera, it would have worked?
Well...
But unfortunately, it was Jose Lothario.
But
the point being that
well, let's
establishing
give
it,
let's give an example that then all of a sudden they introduced his son that show and Sid beat up his son and we were supposed to care.
Yeah.
Right? And nobody did because we'd known his son.
Remember
for
when
30
TNA
decades.
had Samoa Joe and one of the guys called out his girlfriend and insulted her that we'd never seen before and never saw again?
Yeah.
And it was supposed to get heat and it fucking failed?
Well,
I wonder why.
Like every time Randy Orton has a wife?
Yes.
You know? Like it's just.
Exactly.
You know, they did. This isn't like. I mean, when Shawn Michaels and Diesel broke up at the Survivor Series of all places, they'd been around together for like 2 years.
2 years.
You know, almost.
Yeah,
maybe 18 months. But I mean, it was enough of a build. That,
mm-hmm.
You know, Diesel wrestled for a bit, Shawn wrestled for a bit. No, it was 2 years. It was 2 years because it was 93. It was May
mm-hmm.
of 93 when he showed up. So. It was more than 2 years, wasn't it? Because wasn't it 95?
I think it was a little more than 2 years.
No, it was 94, wasn't it? Survivor Series 94, because Diesel won the title at Madison Square Garden just 6 days after the Survivor Series 94 when they did the throw the towel gimmick in.
You're right. Yeah.
Because 95, then Brett won the title back from Diesel with that table spot.
Yeah.
That first when Brett went through that table. 96,
yeah. Brett took on Austin. 97, I can't remember what happened.
Did they have a Survivor Series in 97?
15 years ago, but nothing significant.
No, I don't think so.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think the Patriot was involved. And Steve Blackman.
But no, the same thing. I mean, Undertaker had a long-term relationship with Paul Bearer.
Yeah.
So when something would happen, it would mean something. And the point being that you just can't, you know, I mean, it's one thing for... I can see a relationship. I could picture how it could be there. But you can't just throw it out there for 2 minutes and expect it to mean fuck all.
No.
That said, I still like what they do. Generally, I think that's a good program. I'm liking the program. I think I can see things that could improve.
Yeah.
But that's in the overall WWE way with what they're doing. It's well done.
Well,
like
I think
because it's mid-card. Anything mid-card is generally good.
Well, and as I wrote in Addy's 2012 WWE Survivor Series preview,
going up when?
It's up.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought that was the best survivor or best team.
That went up too.
Oh. Oh, you just, okay. Whatever.
Yeah, I put one up, it's been one up every day, basically. I put one up yesterday.
You didn't move it to the WTP stage, so I wouldn't have seen it.
I
just saw WTW.
I was busy yesterday, I threw it up. I don't even know if it's on the WTW main page yet. It is actually today. But anyway, as we talk to each other on the show. The big thing is, all I said is, yeah, you're right, I mean, mid-card. I said, because basically it doesn't really matter. I said, the title, it doesn't really matter who wins this match.
No.
Because basically the World Heavyweight title is now the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So.
So at least it means something.
Well, but all I was saying there.
The Intercontinental title in 1990.
What I was saying is that Sheamus should hold the belt at Mania. He should be defending the world title at WrestleMania. And sure. I said, that said, whether he regains the title at Survivor Series or next month at TLC,
doesn't matter
because this is like an Intercontinental, not like in the way that Punk needs to hold it on right until the Royal Rumble mm-hmm. to have that big long ring. This, if Sheamus defends against whoever, say Wade Barrett at WrestleMania, it doesn't matter if he's held the title
when Razor Ramon held the belt and he loses it to Jeff Jarrett and then he wins it back shortly afterwards.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt the belt or it didn't hurt either guy. It doesn't really raise either guy either. It raises them a little bit to have that belt, but not a lot because it's still not the main focus.
Right.
But at least it has some meaning. But it doesn't, you know, so, and that's where the world title is right now.
Yeah, that's right. It's a nice placeholder.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so, but nice.
And at least they've gotten away from Sheamus being, you know, his cutesy funny.
Well, I was going to say that's what the William Regal part has gotten out of him.
Yeah,
is that he's away from the cutesy now because he's getting revenge for his friend, right? So he gets him into that more serious.
Exactly. Mode. Like I say, it could be better, but mid card stuff is generally enjoyable within WWE.
Yeah, I think so. So, boom. Just looking to see anything else. Anything else we want to talk about on Raw? Anything else happen on Raw?
Nothing that's really worth talking about. Survivor Series, I don't know if there's anything really worth talking about. Like you say, Punk will keep it. The way they're doing it, it looks like Ziggler will get the win for his team. I figure Ziggler and Barrett
and
probably.
Barrett, yeah.
The only thing, the reason maybe not, is because we're already looking at a lot of heels winning. We're looking at Punk holding. We're looking at Big Show probably retaining.
I could see Sheamus winning though if they are going that way, and I could see give Caitlyn the Divas title. Who cares?
Yeah, but you know? I think it's possible Orton wins.
There is
Orton
that too,
is the sole survivor.
And Orton is the that is true. Orton and Miz actually, if they're gonna go with Miz as this
yeah,
new face,
if they're gonna babyface it, sure.
Yeah.
So I could see that. So
yeah.
You know, just.
But I see 3MB winning.
Yes,
over
Cobra.
Cobra, yes.
Yes, in the Facebook match,
yes.
Or whatever the fuck it is.
YouTube match.
Yeah,
yes.
Same fucking thing.
Yes. I wanted to point out, too, now that we're kind of, that's basically the Survivor Series card. Oh, and Cesaro retains, so it's another
heel,
right?
Yeah, exactly,
right?
Another heel.
And that's every match they've announced.
Yeah, and if they do the eight-man, probably, the heel will probably, you know.
Well, the private players will probably win, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, or actually, I could see Rey and Sin Cara.
Oh, maybe. I did like when Rey and Sin Cara were doing the millions of dollars dance.
Yes, yeah, that was
pretty
kind of
funny.
And I did like when Brad Maddox had his thing in the ambulance backs out, and Jerry Lawler went, "Oh, there's my ride."
I liked Maddox's insert promo.
Yeah,
you know,
right, yeah.
So,
but enough said about the Julia Riley thing too with AJ. I mean,
I hate that so fucking. I fucking hate kids. Every time she's on my screen, I just.
Yeah.
And I love in that promo that went on with her and Vicky. I think it was AJ. It might have been Vicky, but I'm pretty sure it was AJ who forgot her line because Vicky said her line like three times.
Yeah.
The exact same words.
And of course, they had to make a fat joke to.
Of course, they did.
Vicky.
Yeah.
I know. The thing
and meanwhile, I'd like to say we've seen her. We've seen AJ, and she weighs 1 pound.
I've seen her in person.
What's that?
I'd fuck her.
Oh, I'd fuck her. Yeah. I mean,
so.
I'd warn her first, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't think, I mean, when the sun is blocked out, she'd probably know.
Oh, she'd scream.
Yeah.
But
no one would hear.
No one would hear.
Like a black hole. Literally.
In space, no one can hear you scream.
That's why you want to be an astronaut.
There you go.
I do have to, getting away from Raw, because there's nothing else to talk about.
Fuck Vicky. I'll pay it. I would.
I know. But you'd fuck Dolph, too.
He's got nice legs.
Bigger boobs than AJ, probably.
Bigger boobs than big. Not as big as me.
That's true. But no one's as big of a boob as you. I do want to call it. I do have to say, because this was something that I heard. I mean, go on the Figure Four Wrestling Observer website, and then are members of that. Each of us are members of that, and like to go on and listen to some of the audio and such. And a lot of times they have these breaking news audios if you're a member, and it's usually like really big stories. They do wrestling and mixed martial arts, right?
Yeah.
Wrestling, and it's always breaking news audio, and it was, you know, like 10 minutes or whatever. I said, okay, I didn't even know what it was. It was just on my iPad. I got to plug in and go, and I was really, you know, I don't say excited is the wrong word, but interested is like, what is this?
Yeah, what's going on?
What the fuck is this big news, right? Well, the whole thing, the biggest news story revolved around a female MMA fighter, Ronda Rousey. Going to be going to the, be coming from UFC, because they said Strikeforce is dissolving in January.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like the whole big story.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, like, fuck, you call that breaking audio? Like,
yeah.
Strikeforce broke up in 1989. This is so old news. Accidentally punched Rick Martel in the face, and he walked out on
it. I left that Survivor Series where Martel pins the... Anyways.
So, I mean, I just had to, like, come on. Like, let's get with it.
I'm glad you fucking wrote that down so you wouldn't forget it. That's the fucking best part.
It's important news.
Like, I got a joke. I can't forget this.
Can't forget it.
Like you forgot that Man-at-Arms Tila joke. So you had to bring it back the next week.
Yes, and after I wrote it down.
And it still didn't work.
I wrote it down.
Oh,
fuck. Fuck me. Now, let's look. What do we want to talk about next? Summer Slam. Did you hear the news about the Summer Slam?
No. What?
What they're looking at doing. Well, I mean, it had Summer Slam.
Not in Los Angeles?
Not in Los Angeles. Right now they're scouting.
They're thinking Los Angeles is possibly for Mania?
It could be, actually. It could be. But they're scouting out outdoor stadiums in Europe to have SummerSlam right now.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I thought that would be another, you know, possible big gate.
Now, when they did that with SummerSlam
92,
the newspapers printing the results before the event happens, because it happened so many hours ahead of time on the pay-per-view delay.
Yeah.
And it's a different day and age in the internet. I'm not sure how successful it would work out. That said, I mean, if you're going to draw a $750,000 gate at Los Angeles, and you're going to draw a $3.5 million, $4 million gate over there, I understand it.
Well, I understand, but again, what is, you know, the cost of flying everyone over to Europe? I mean, you got to...
But you mix it in with the tour around it, and the tour usually does better household business.
That is true, too. Yeah, I mean, if they're going to be over there anyway, kind of thing, for a tour, that's But all culminating in that. So, it's something to watch for. It could be interesting. I mean, I remember the buy rate taking a hit in 92.
Buy rate took a hit? And those pay-per-views that they put on from England, the... What were they called again? Like Mayhem in Manchester and shit like that.
Well, yeah, but those were largely unpromoted bullshit.
Well, the thing was,
they got them in Canada, right?
We got them in Canada, and we got them in, and Europe got them, and they didn't even fucking bother in the States.
No, exactly. And I mean, it's the only thing that was good on those is that in the Attitude Era, they would show tits.
They did, and that's where Vince McMahon dropped an F-bomb in a pay-per-view.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well... And Survivor Series, but...
I don't remember saying it was Survivor Series.
And the fucking bell?
Oh, well, yeah, okay. That's not the same. Not on purpose on camera.
Oh,
that's,
I see.
That's much like...
Scripted, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That's like the Austin Aries when he lifts up the belt at Turning Point from Jeff Hardy going, fuck you, you're never getting those fucking belts! And it's, you know, off-camera type deal.
Yeah. Right? They're not even showing it. Yeah,
exactly. Or like Eve when she's doing commentary and Caitlyn gets the win and pins it and becomes the number one contender, and she really quietly goes, shit. And they didn't beat that one. But
no.
when Punk said shit, though, during the heart attack angle, that they beat up.
Yes, that's right.
That
that's right. You know what she should have said, Eve, when she won? She should have been like, cunt. Went awesome.
Yeah.
Cunt wrestling.
Yeah, she's not wrestling, Dixie.
That's true.
You're just happy because there was a web search.
That's where I was
there. Google. And for cunt wrestling. And somebody found our website now. He's like, oh, that's great. We may have peaked.
We may have peaked with that Google search.
I'm like, yes. Well, we haven't peaked yet because we're only on iTunes. We're only number 6 for wrestling shows.
That's true.
Behind things like the Law, Colt Cabana, and PW Torch. And then it's us. What the fuck is wrong with people out there? We're number six.
Yes, I know.
We're ahead of, like, MLW and Smart Marks and Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
All these people have been around for, like, 5 years or more. And we're passing all of them.
The world is fucked.
I know. You know what, it's not, you know, I should at this point in time say to those people, to our listeners, and obviously there's a whole bunch of you and there's a legion of you out there, and that's just, you know, I just want to say, it's not you, it's us. We're great, and you really have nothing to do with it. We're fantastic, is what I'm saying. But please, write a positive review for us on iTunes.
Yes.
Stitcher.
Stitcher, cool. Yeah, we're on Stitcher, too.
We're on Stitcher,
right?
Too.
That's cool.
Doing good.
Doing well.
Yeah.
TNA, you're talking about...
What the fuck is wrong with people?
Hmm? I don't know. Elmo's a child molester.
I don't like that because part of his name is Mo.
That's true. Mo the child molester.
Yeah, I see you got a nice little mustache going there for Movember.
That's true.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
So you're sitting there being fat for Homovember.
Let's talk about something else. Let's play a game.
Time to play
one. Fuck yeah.
Time
to play a game.
Normally you come up with the game, but I thought of this game called Greatest Opponents.
It's all about the game and how you play it. Don't know the next line.
Why is,
gonna fake it.
Why is Charlie Sheen singing Motorhead?
This show's not going to last much longer.
Winning. Why? No, it's been renewed didn't it get renewed for 18 billion episodes?
Did it?
Charlie Sheen's show?
I don't know. I haven't watched it.
It's called Anger Management.
Yeah.
Really? He's going to fight Daniel Bryan?
Yeah. I wish he had. Oh, that's. I actually want to say that. I can't wait for Daniel Bryan and Team Hell No to break up.
Yes.
I cannot fucking wait. Because we talk about Mick Foley being a Muppet, and that's what Daniel Bryan's been turned into.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan, over the last 18 months, has managed to reinvent himself so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Like Foley was able to reinvent himself so many times.
Yeah.
The difference is, of course, it's going to be easier for Foley because he's a big guy, looks scary, and he had the Cactus Jack thing and all that stuff. But
more like
Daniel
Fossey Bear.
Yeah. But Daniel Bryan probably could reinvent himself if he gets away from that and be somebody who's just...
More like Gonzo.
A little... He's too fucking good for that role.
Chicken fucker.
I mean, he's good at everything he does, so he's good even at that role. Fuck. Try to keep going.
Camilla, that was the name of the chicken. He got a manager. But, I agree with you.
He has a chance to become something better, and what he's doing, like, this whole thing with him being jealous over Kane, and yeah, okay. It's cute and it's funny and it doesn't have any future and the guy can achieve more for the company and draw them more money outside of that role. So it's just, you know, he's over in his comedy mid-card Muppet role, but I just want more for Daniel Bryan because he's good enough to do more. And so I really want to see that team break up. And it looks to me like they're probably going that direction pretty soon now with what happened here with, you know, him being jealous. Of
with
the Miz
and all that bullshit.
But, yeah, I mean, it can't happen soon enough for me, so I can see Daniel Bryan go on to something better.
I really would. What is that something better at this point? I don't know, but,
They see him as a mid-card guy, and he's good at it long enough, but like I say, he's like Foley, and that they saw Foley as a mid-card guy, but when they needed him to, he could turn himself into something else.
Yeah.
I think Daniel Bryan's talented enough. He's reinvented himself. I mean, if you really think about it, over the last 18 months, he's had a shitload of gimmicks.
The thing is, it's
that
the best...
have changed.
Yeah. And, the thing is the best guy to give him credibility
mm-hmm.
is now just a sports entertainer. And that's CM Punk.
That's the guy
that would go to bat for him and have that match with him
and
fight Daniel Bryan, again, is now just a sports entertainer. He's just another one of their guys, right? So there really isn't a way to evolve. Like, when we're talking about evolving Daniel Bryan, there really isn't a way. Maybe you have a Muppet versus Muppet at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You know,
if it's done right, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's just it. I just he's never going to go anywhere, and his character is never going to be more than what it is right now, as long as he's with Kane. And I just, for me, I want it to end.
Yeah. No,
so we can move on to something else.
I agree with you. So, all right. So let's play the game, Ma. This game is called Greatest Opponent.
This is a game, so I have no chance of beating it, right? There's no way I'm going over.
No. You know, we're probably going to Phoenix, Arizona. You know what the name of their hockey arena is called?
Oh, what?
Jobbing.com Arena.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Al Snow will be there?
That's why they're not running there, because Triple H booked the other venue.
Oh, that makes sense.
So, but this is Greatest Opponent. So, Aina, basically what we're going to do is I'm just going to name a wrestler.
Okay.
And you're just going to tell me who you think their greatest opponent of all time is, and maybe even say why. All
right, sounds good.
So, I started at the top with Hulk Hogan.
Oh, fuck.
If you do, get it on tape.
Paul Orndorff.
Yeah, Paul. Paul Orndorff was gonna be up there for me too. I gave Paul Orndorff my kind of 1A consideration.
For me, it's Paul Orndorff. Randy Savage is up there. Andre is up there.
Well, I mean, I went with Savage. The only reason I didn't go with Andre.
Savage today would have been 60 years old.
Yeah, it was Randy Savage's birthday today. Would have been 60
Eddie Guerrero a couple days ago would have been his.
He died 7 years ago.
Yeah, he died 7 years
ago. On Tuesday. He died 7 years ago on Tuesday. So, a couple of wonderful things there. But, I went with Savage over Orndorff were my two. The only reason I didn't go with Andre is just, again, I had to put a little bit of match quality in there as well. And I think Savage drew just as much as Andre with Hogan, probably overall more so.
In a different way, very different way.
Well, I mean, money-wise.
I think Orndorff. Yeah. Orndorff, I believe, would have been his, I think, hottest feud. It was incredibly hot. Now, the other one, of course, is Roddy Piper.
Yes, there's Piper as well.
Piper has to be up there as well. If I'm doing it, I'm going Orndorff, Piper, then Savage for me.
Okay. But, Savage, Orndorff, Piper for me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Woo!
No.
No, who's now next guy is Rick.
Oh, okay, I thought you meant Rick. Oh, fuck.
I have the money to pay the bartender.
For me, it's Barry Windham. As far as an opponent whose matches I would love to watch over and over and over, for me, for Flair, it's Barry Windham.
Yeah.
You're asking me who my favorite opponent to watch him with.
Terry
Funk is close.
Terry Funk, yeah.
But it's Windham. It's pure wrestling matches. I think they're better. I think they're better than Steamboat and Flair, personally.
Yeah. You got to throw Steamboat in there, too.
Yeah, they're great stuff. But for me, it's...
One of my favorites.
I mean, it's really what's weird about it is Windham was the baby face, and yet he got 95% of the offense the entire time. Usually the heel gets the heat on the baby face. And in those matches, the psychology was he dominates them the whole time. But the chemistry and their chain wrestling and just Windham was so fucking good. People forget.
Yeah,
how good and how athletic he was.
Yeah,
and how good a chain wrestler he was.
He was tanned.
Yeah.
But you think of that, and it's on the Flair first Flair DVD collection where he was it WCW Pro or Worldwide show where the whole show is just that match.
Mm-hmm.
They fight for the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous.
Tremendous. Yeah.
Randy Savage again, and Ric Flair.
Randy Savage, I think, was some of his best feuds, but not necessarily best opponents.
Yeah.
I don't think their matches were quite at the high quality as what we're looking at. I mean, again, I probably go, I mean, for me, I'm going, like I said, Funk at number two. I probably, instead of Steamboat, I'd probably go Sting number three for me.
Yeah, there is Sting. Well, one of my favorite Ric Flair match, they didn't have enough for me to warn him on here, but one of my favorite Ric Flair, if not my favorite Ric Flair match, was that match against Vader. Starcade.
That was awesome.
I mean, he didn't have enough matches for me to call Vader his greatest opponent or one of his greatest opponents.
He goes to Japan, though, and I watch a great match with Jumbo Trasuta, I think is
Saruta.
How
it's
Cerruda. It was just an amazing match. You know, there's a lot of great stuff out there, but you can't necessarily put them up there because it's one or two matches.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, Bret Hart, the same thing.
Sting, you know? Like you said, Steamboat.
Steamboat's up there.
Darren Savage is in that.
Dusty, just had great chemistry.
The Nibble, Dusty was more to me about the promo back and forth, right? That dichotomy between the Nature Boy and the Common Man, right? But, okay. Well, I mean, we mentioned him twice already. But let's go, Randy Savage.
Oh, Christ. Randy Savage is a steamboat. That's it. I mean, say what you will, he had a lot of great moments after that. But when I think of Randy Savage, the first image that pops in my mind is still him being small cradled by Steamboat for the win for the IC belt in front of 78,000 people at WrestleMania. I mean, 93 at WrestleMania 3.
93,173.
Oh, yeah, see. I mean, 78.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot number.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, I mean that's still
178.
that's still for me that Steamboat. It was just so perfect.
I think yes, that was. Because we're throwing a couple of names out there. I think Savage, a great opponent for Randy Savage is Jake Roberts, and Ted DiBiase as well. In that. As well, and I mean, and Hulk Hogan. I mean, if you wanted to,
and such.
So, lots of choices. John Cena.
John Cena, Edge.
Yeah.
It's Edge.
It is Edge.
Edge is the guy who, as far as both making him a babyface and having great matches.
Mm-hmm. It's Edge. Yeah.
It's Edge.
Yeah, that's right.
Edge is the guy.
And I mean, and you get a distant number two, right? Is like CM Punk maybe.
CM Punk, Triple H, Orton.
Again, not enough matches. Umaga.
Yeah, Umaga was great with him. Yeah. It's true. But again, not enough matches. No.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It definitely Edge. It's Edge is a no brainer. It's his greatest opponent.
Yeah. 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 The Hitman.
Oh fuck. Owen.
Yeah.
It's Owen.
Owen's
his greatest opponent.
As
far as making me care, as far as great matches, it's Owen.
Well, Owen and Shawn. The matches weren't what was.
It's Owen. Shawn's great, but I don't. No, it's Owen.
Owen was his greatest opponent. I'll give you that. Yeah. But again, we're throwing other sort of. I don't want to say rankings, but you know, Shawn's in that in the mix.
Yeah, he's
Mr.
obviously
perfect.
Mr. Perfect for sure.
Yeah, you know, I'd actually put him ahead of Shawn.
I probably would too.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, Bad News.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Davey Boy Smith.
Yeah, Davey Boy.
You know, so. No, but sure. I mean, it's Owen.
Yeah.
Owen's just that. That's it.
That is the feud.
Yeah.
What about Shawn Michaels? Shawn Michaels.
Fuck me. Good Lord.
Call me Addy.
Oh my God. Call you again, Addy?
Addy.
He has so many that are like the same level that it's tough to have that guy who stands out. I
am trying to think of a guy that really stands out as, I mean, Hunter, I guess, I got to say.
I don't think Hunter stands out. Does Hunter stand out more than Undertaker? No.
Well,
does
there is Undertaker,
stand out more
that's
than,
right.
Does he stand out more than Bret? No. Does he stand out more than Kurt Angle for me? No. Does he stand out more than...
I just think with Hunter, you saw them hook it up inside the Elimination Chamber. You saw them have that three stages of hell match. Saw them have Hell in the Cell.
But the other guy I was going to put in there, you know what, to me, the guy who I might have number one if I have to choose, it's Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I was going to say Jericho's in there, but again.
It's Chris Jericho.
Yeah, him and Jericho had that feud there.
That feud is the
best feud
they've had over the last decade. Plus they had my favorite match at WrestleMania 19.
Yep. Well, that was kind of Slim Pickens, but.
Well, but it had Lesnar versus Angle.
Yeah, but that's best known for Lesnar's Shooting Star Press.
Yeah, well, still a lot of people love the match. So, that's for me, that's the one I go with.
Jericho's good. Yeah, Jericho's up there. But Undertaker, definitely. I mean, you gotta
put Undertaker up
there. And then I think you have to put Honor in that.
And you know what? I only saw one match, but fuck, was it amazing. And that was against Mankind.
They had a couple matches. They had the Mind Games pay-per-view match.
Yes, that was amazing.
But on Raw, it was Mankind against Sean when the insurance policy, Ravishing Rick Rude, made his debut on Raw as well.
That's right. You're right.
That was against Mankind. So, but
you can't put him up there against that. But
not enough matches again, right?
Not enough
but
matches.
It was a great match.
Yeah.
Okay. Steve Austin.
Steve Austin's Bret Hart.
Yeah.
And Bret Hart, to this day, I mean, I know The Rock and him were bigger, but as far as a feud that made a guy, that gave great matches, and made fans feel it still real, that was the one.
Well, you say Bret and Austin is to me, because Austin and Hulk Hogan get compared all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Bret and Austin is like Orndorff and Hogan,
yeah.
Whereas Savage and Hogan is like The Rock and Austin.
Yeah, I'd agree with
that. I mean, that's kind of the parallels there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bret Hart, I'd have to say.
So where's Austin? He doesn't do that match at WrestleMania 13.
Yeah.
He's still something, but that meant so much.
I think it is. Well, the feud there,
The whole thing. It was the whole thing. It was Bret saying, you know what, that's it. I'm going to beat you, and then it's over. And Austin saying, it'll never be over. You don't understand.
Yeah,
this isn't
ever,
some fucking feud or something on TV. I hate you. I'm never stopping.
Not until your ass is back home in Calgary.
Exactly. Yeah. It just had something that was different.
Then he beat up Boink.
That's Austin. That's Austin's best feud, I believe. And number two, very close, in minuscule, is Vince McMahon.
Is his greatest opponent?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Vince. The matches were entertaining, but ultimately they're not like the Bret.
They're not catch-as-catch-can classics, no.
No, but the matches were actually very entertaining, just the whole feud.
Yeah.
You know, it was so great. So entertaining. Right, but not as real as Bret and Austin.
No. But, yeah, I got to go with Bret. I would maybe even throw, like, Mick Foley you could throw.
They had great stuff,
in there. They did some great stuff. So.
And Undertaker, he had great stuff with him, and he had great stuff with, say, Rock. And,
So
he had the first three stages of Hell match against Triple H, which was one of the best matches of Austin's career. Probably the second best match, I think.
That Hunter won en route to the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
Oh, I
WrestleMania
know.
17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't hurt the...
It didn't hurt it, no. But
still.
But actually, in some ways, it played into the storyline of why he would turn. He needed something to... Because he was, you know...
Well, you think of... and you go into WrestleMania 17, which is considered the last peak, really, right? Or is it
that's where they peak.
18?
That's where they peak. Like last one, when I cut wrestling, Google search, and found us.
Yeah, exactly. It's a peak. But, I mean, you look at really what that was, is that... The build there was Deborah as The Rock's manager.
Yep.
You know, and it was just retarded.
Yeah.
You know, but that video was so great. It was Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, it was Limp Bizkit, and it was JR Go Home Show.
Yeah.
At the end, going, Austin's desperate. What will he do to become champion?
Yeah.
What will he do?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, and you had Paul Heyman there too, and two guys who know how to sell, as opposed to the puppies, right? So.
Yeah, exactly. Two guys who know how to sell. So, not at all like Triple H.
No.
Yeah.
That's right. How about The Rock? The Rock's greatest opponent.
I have to say Triple H.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think he and Triple H had a great hot feud for the IC belt.
Mm-hmm.
To push them both to main event level, and then renewed their feud for years at the main event level. I think that and had some great matches and drew well.
What about?
So I actually go Triple H.
What about the British Bulldog? Remember when he rock bottomed him into the dog shit?
Yeah. But you know, I mean, there's some other guys out there. Like I think Ken Shamrock, somebody people probably don't think about. But he was a great opponent for Rock.
For
he was
Rock
perfect.
At the time, yeah.
At the time, you know. Obviously, Austin is up there. That's...
I'm trying to think of anyone else that, you know, Kurt Angle was and The Rock were always really good.
Benoit.
Yeah, that's
great
true.
Great with The Rock.
Yeah, every time. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, and Mick Foley, obviously. I think Mick Foley's my number two. Mick Foley really did get him ready for Austin at WrestleMania with the great stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, with that. Yeah. Well, they had all that again. Different types of matches. Last man standing, empty arena.
I quit,
ladder.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing, right? So,
yeah, so I think he's very close behind Triple H, but yeah.
Sure, yeah, I'd actually go Mankind number one. And then
yeah, I could see that,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So, what about Sting?
Sting is Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Number two for Sting is Muta.
Yeah, Muta is probably the guy who's had the most fun. Paul Orndorff as well. Actually, not Paul Orndorff, I'm sorry, Rick Rude.
Rick Rude, yes. Rick Rude, yeah, for sure.
Was a guy that I probably, I mean, Flair was the obvious number one. I just thought we could have some, but Muta is good. I was thinking Rude is my number two, but Muta is another guy that, yeah, absolutely. How about Goldberg?
Goldberg? Oh, fuck.
And again, it's tough because you talk about not have to have a couple matches, and he didn't, you know? I mean,
you know, that's it. You really think about it, prolonged feuds.
You know, every time he was in the ring with Lightning Jerry Flynn, magic.
Magic. Or a Super Eagle.
Yes, that was excellent. Or Wrath.
Yeah, yeah.
He fought Wrath like 15 times.
You know who was a great opponent for him was Perry Saturn.
Yeah.
Because Perry Saturn was seen as a legit tough guy coming out of ECW with his
and in the Flock and just, yeah.
Flock, and he was a legitimate military background and looked like a tough dude. And actually, he was the first guy that he had to legitimately, the Goldberg had to sell for. They got some offense in on
That's
him.
Right.
And, you know.
Other than Mongo.
I think he made him a bigger star.
Yeah.
Well, Mongo's.
But that was before.
He pretty much destroyed
was...
Mongo anyways.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think he's kind of...
I was going to say Henning as well.
Henning. He had some great stuff with Henning.
Well, it's a great stuff, but I mean...
Well, you know,
in terms of Goldberg,
I mean, DDP's the other guy.
Yeah, DDP's probably the biggest sort of high-profile guy. Scott Hall as
Scott
well.
Scott Hall's one I was going to put up there,
I mean, as much as Goldberg hated him.
Yeah. There's nothing really... And who wouldn't hate him? I can't really think of much in...
His dealer.
WWE, I can't really think of anything there that, you know.
No, that thing was
you know who else was a great opponent for him? In WCW, they cooked up a couple times, including maybe his best match in WCW, and that's actually Scott Steiner. They had an awesome match. So, again, a lot of times with Goldberg, you have to kind of really think about it and dig deep.
Yeah.
There's some good stuff there, but it's not stuff that you immediately would just...
Well, and a lot of it, we talk about having good matches, and the reason you pick, like, say, a Saturn or even, like, a Henning, or I would even maybe say, like, a Raven, is because those were the guys that could bump for him.
Yes. You know,
and that's really, it's not, these aren't back and forth, you know, what a maneuver matches. These are, like, who can, you know, bump for the monster, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. How about DDP?
Oh, DDP. Eddie Guerrero's way up there.
Yeah.
Battle Bowl stuff that was really good stuff and what really started to make him up. But Randy Savage has got to be number one.
You know what? If I can name a co-guy, but those three ways that they had with Raven and Benoit were awesome. And I mean, I don't know one opponent, but that three-way dichotomy.
That three-way
was
great
awesome.
Stuff. And Sting, he had good chemistry with Sting.
He did, yeah.
So those are kind of the guys I think of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Hollywood scum Hogan.
Nope.
How about CM Punk?
CM Punk's best opponent. Oh, that's Samoa Joe's up there.
Yeah.
Chris Hero's up there.
Yeah, Chris Hero, yeah.
Brian Danielson's up there. So that's his stuff on indies that really stands out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he has like a 90-minute match with Chris Hero.
Yeah.
You know, like a 60-minute table match. WWE, I mean, the guy has been...
I think of Colt Cabana on the indies as well. That's,
Colt Cabana
is
another...
Act on
the
road,
yeah.
too, right? That was one of his first deals.
In WWE, you think of Jeff Hardy he's been, you know, had something with.
That was going to be
Rey Mysterio, I think, is actually, I mean, I think Cena's the obvious pick. Rey, though, has got to be way, way the hell up there.
Yeah, but so. I was going to go with Jeff Hardy. I just thought that they had the best matches. It was him turning heel for the first time. You know, he talks about his, you know, DVD, you know, Vince sitting him in a room saying, I got a challenge for you. I don't think you can pull this off. I want you to go heel.
Yeah. And fucking
Punk,
heel
Punk goes, so what's the challenge?
Yeah.
And Vince looks over at Michael Hayes and goes, like, did you not hear what I said? He goes, Vince, I heard what you said. What's the challenge?
Yeah, exactly. And remember him and Mick Foley had a lot of interactions in ROH.
Yeah, that's right.
Foley was the... Do you think there's any chance they bring that up and reference that?
No, because CM Punk right now, now that he's gotten to be a star and gotten to kind of, I don't want to say write his own ticket, mm-hmm. but largely kind of give a little bit more say into the direction, mm-hmm. all he's doing is his Ring of Honor stuff.
That's true.
He's pipe bombing, he's turning heel, he's being a smarmy heel. Yeah. Saying, I didn't turn on you guys, but he's bringing in Mick Foley to do this. Like, that's, I mean, if Raven wasn't looking, you know, so disheveled, but, I mean, he could find another guy, a la Raven.
Yeah.
And
a disheveled guy? AJ Styles.
Well, no, I mean, yeah. But, no, I just think that Raven wasn't at the point, but then he talked about how you had it and you blew it. So they could find an old WWF guy from the 90s that's still in good shape and have him, you know, do that as well, right? Mm-hmm. So... there's lots of possibilities for Punk to rehash all his ROH dreams.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
All right. The Undertaker.
Mick Foley.
Yeah, that's kind of a no.
Mick Foley was the first guy that he had a feud with where his matches consistently didn't suck. Really had good matches, because most of the matches before that were such nobody else got offense on Undertaker, and I mean, when he's facing Yokozuna, there's no point in time where you're thinking, "Oh, the dead man's not going to sit up because he doesn't feel pain." But it felt like the Mankind character, the dangerous character, was able to hurt the Undertaker for the first time, and that's what made it different.
Because he got a win.
Yeah.
You know, and it was the first thing. I mean, yeah, you talk about like, yeah, there was never any doubt that he wasn't going to beat Giant Gonzalez or King Kong Bundy or Mabel, right?
Exactly.
It was just, but Foley, yeah, was that guy.
That guy that you're like, this guy's so dangerous and crazy and whatever.
Yeah.
And he got a win, and he just, and he didn't get another one, but the matches were high quality as well.
So yeah.
That's, for me, the number one guy. Triple H and Shawn Michaels obviously have to be mentioned.
Bret Hart.
Bret Hart was, terrific. Yeah, terrific. Say what you will, but Kane, I think as far as a feud that people were into, I think he was up
there.
The first time, yeah. Steve Austin, he and Steve Austin.
Highway to Hell, and I mean,
Highway
Steve
to
Austin,
Hell was awesome.
I think, yeah, I would go with Mankind, I'd go with Shawn Michaels, and I'd go with Bret Hart, and those sort of three.
I think Randy Orton was a great opponent for him.
Yeah.
I think Kurt Angle was a great opponent for him.
Yeah, that was a good match. That was, again, that was a really good match that they had that, what is it, like a No Way Out in February, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was like buffering WrestleMania, I think.
Yeah, it was like the tap pin finish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was before Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle had an MMA match. It was an MMA match.
What about DDP? And Canyon.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Yeah.
Okay, well, I said, and then I naturally went from Undertaker to Kane. And who do you think Kane's best opponent?
Can I do Kane's worst opponent?
Big Show?
Big Show's bad. Edge was bad.
Well, that was just a bad feud.
It was just a bad feud. Kane's best opponent? I go back, I think it's Mick Foley.
Yeah, that's probably... Yeah, Mick Foley is probably the only one. I'm trying to, again, as I say that, I'm trying to think of, of who he even kind of had.
I think he had a really good feud, actually, with Chris Jericho at one point.
Oh, yeah, when he spilled coffee on him.
Yeah, it burns, right?
Yes, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Rob Van Dam never really had that feud, though.
No, they fucked it up. It was Shane. To go with Shane instead.
Yeah, Shane's
not. Fucking idiot.
Shane's not one of his.
No.
Neither is Test.
No. Neither is
the Undertaker. I mean, yeah, neither is... Yeah.
Yeah, the Undertaker, I think, would be... I think Undertaker is a good opponent for... Their matches... the Inferno match doesn't hold up, but the first time I'm watching their very first ever Inferno match,
yeah,
was compelling as hell.
It was, yeah.
Because just hadn't seen anything like
it. Just a spectacle, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was unbelievably compelling. So,
yeah. So, no, I'd have to say, I mean, and I can't even think... I mean, you go back to Isaac Yankum, and it was Bret Hart, but, I mean...
Yeah.
That's kind of a different deal. But in terms of Kane himself, I think, yeah, Mankind and or Foley or whatever, and, you know, even Hunter got some good matches out of Kane as well. I mean, he had that surrounded of that bullshit Katie Vick thing, but it was also,
yeah,
you know, Kane got lost the mask
to
Hunter. I mean, some of those matches were decent enough.
Yeah, yeah, it was all right.
So,
all right.
Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho's best opponent, I hate to say it, it is Chris Benoit.
It's
Chris Benoit. When they, like, we knew Chris Jericho was entertaining, but I think people didn't quite respect his in-ring work.
Yes.
Until he had that unbelievable intercontinental feud.
And the ladder match.
The ladder match at the Royal Rumble, which is just hellacious.
Yeah.
And month after, just hard-hitting dungeon-style matches and just, you know, very... It was a feud for the ages. They were tremendous. So that's...
All ages?
Yeah, that is... That's Chris Jericho's, for me. That's his greatest opponent. Of course, Shawn Michaels, again, is up there. Dean Malenko is up there.
Say, Dean Malenko is...
Rey Mysterio is up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the guys... The top of my head, those are the guys I go with for Chris Jericho. But
yeah,
I mean it's Chris Benoit.
Yeah, Benoit, Malenko would be my next guy, and then Shawn. Mm-hmm. I'd say there.
I'd probably put Ray ahead of
me.
Yeah.
Ray and Shawn are kind of tied for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the other thing. But yeah, what about Eddie? He's in hell, you know.
Fuck. Eddie Guerrero's best opponent. His best. Oh God!
Opponent.
Fucking damn it. See, here's the thing. It is and isn't Ray. Like the WCW.
Yeah.
That is. The stuff in the WWE, I'm your poppy, isn't.
Did we think of that WrestleMania match?
Yeah.
That happened before, and the lead up to that was that Ray, that Eddie could not beat Ray.
No, he couldn't. Yeah.
And that was the thing that kind of snapped him over. But I'm your poppy, Dominic. I mean, I still have the I'm your poppy T-shirt.
Yeah, I know.
That's awesome.
Know. It's funny, but I just don't think that.
And that ladder match was good.
It was good. It's not as good as the Halloween Havoc match.
No, no.
Had,
oh
right?
God, no, no. That's their best. That's probably the best match we've talked about so far today. But,
so
yeah,
I mean that's
it. That's me. It's Ray. It's
probably I mean Angle.
Yeah, well, Angle, yeah.
You know, I mean Angle, just tremendous with him. So those are the first two guys that I kind of think of.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to honestly trying to come up with another one is difficult.
Yeah, I mean, obviously when he and Bart Starr were teaming in AAA.
Art Barr.
Or what'd I say?
Bart Starr. The Green Bay Packers quarterback.
Art Barr.
That was a hell of a team.
That was a hell of a team. Two Hall of Famers. but, yeah, Art Barr and AAA.
And
their name of the opponents. What's that?
It said Kurt Hennig can't get in.
Yeah.
Bart Starr's in the Observer Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, their name of their opponents escapes me, but I know that shit was, you know, I mean,
I think it was the Kansas City Chiefs the first time.
Fuck off. but the stuff at that match at Went Worlds Collide, that's, you know, the best two out of three falls match.
Yeah,
that's a five-star match, and I know the name of the opponents escapes me, but that stuff's got to be up there, so.
Yeah, but, to me, it's going to be Ray and I mean Angle. Obviously there. So, Batista,
Undertaker.
Yeah.
I never expected a good match. Then they go out there have this great match at Mania, yeah, where they're both pissed off that they're not closing the show. Batista actually literally walks into the back and yells, fucking top that.
Follow that, yeah.
Or follow that, yeah. Fucking follow that.
Yeah.
You know, much like Dolph Ziggler.
Yes.
And then you think that then they scheduled them a little while down the road, not right away.
No.
They scheduled it, they have waited a little bit, they schedule it again, and you're like, well, this one will suck. That was just a fluke. Then they have another great
match.
They have
another one, yeah.
Then they schedule them again, and they have another great match. And at this point, I'm going, they're never going to have a bad match, and they never did.
No.
He's far and away, Triple H is the only other guy I even put.
Yeah.
In the
I think Shawn got some stuff out of him when he was green, but,
yeah.
But I mean, that's a distant third.
Distant third.
Yeah. But I think you're, I mean, Undertaker is, to me, yeah, the no-brainer there, so.
Yeah.
Davey Boy Smith's
best work. It is Brett Owen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a matter of how you're putting
it. What order you want to go in.
Which
right?
other one you want to go with. It is Brett Owen. Shawn also.
Not enough matches, I guess.
Maybe.
They did. I'll give you that.
They had quite a few. So, I mean, I go Brett number one because I'll throw in his Hart Foundation stuff versus British Bulldogs. So, I say Brett.
Yeah, you got to do that for that longevity of it. I mean, I keep flashing in my mind that European title finals from Berlin.
So good.
It was just so good. But, yeah, Brett for the number of consistency and just the fact they've had more. Yeah. Triple H.
I still go Rock, same reason. I mean, the two of them hook up. They're young. They're hungry. They, you know, get be main events together, despite the fact that Triple H wanted to bury him.
Bury him. Well, so was Shawn, too.
Well, it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
They were, you know, they were both afraid of Rock's potential.
Did he have any?
Yeah, I wonder. But, again, you start off as mid-carders together, have a hellacious feud. You go into main events, and you draw money and have feuds and good matches. That's the number one guy, and Shawn is number two.
Yeah. So Mick Foley got to be in there as well.
Mick Foley made people really take him legitimate.
And you talk about a feud that started here in Calgary, or had that, didn't start here in Calgary, started at the King of the Ring, but then come over to Calgary here, mm-hmm. and that when they're fighting in the penalty box,
mm-hmm.
leading to the cage match, leading to the debut of Cactus Jack and a Falls Count Anywhere on Raw in September, you know, and so you kind of...
You're right, they had an Intercontinental feud, the SummerSlam...
I don't think it was even for the Intercontinental title, it was like a King of the Ring finals
that just fit
into a mid-card feud, right?
It opened up SummerSlam, the Heart and Soul one, what was that, 95?
97,
was that 97? You're right, yeah, it was 97, yeah. They opened that up with a cage match.
Yeah.
Foley goes off the top cage.
And China waxes.
Yeah, but it's his supervised.
Yeah, he rips his shirt that was supposed to have a dude love heart and it rubbed off or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, Triple H is very, Triple H and Mankind is way up there, so.
I would put Mankind ahead of The Rock first.
I go The Rock first, but because at the end of the day, they drew more money.
I see you do that, yeah. And it's just that, to me, again, for greatest opponent, Mankind really sealed Hunter as a top guy when people weren't really taking him that seriously.
I agree. I just think that people viewed Rock. I think at the time, people legitimately, there was a period, especially when Austin was hurt,
mm-hmm.
and they were feuding for the world title, WWE Championship, WWF Championship, actually.
Yeah, I guess.
When Austin was hurt, the people legitimately viewed those two as the two best guys in the world.
Right.
So.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
But yeah, and then Shawn.
Shawn, yeah. Rowdy Roddy Piper. Not Henry Godwin? You wouldn't put Henry Godwin in that Triple H, no?
Fuck no. Rowdy Roddy Piper. Interesting one.
Yeah.
Rowdy Roddy Piper. Greg Valentine, way up there. Ric Flair, way up there.
I Scare Flair.
Yeah, because they had good stuff in NWA and WWF.
Yeah.
So that's definitely, those two guys. His best match ever was against Bret Hart.
Yes.
So, and he got Hogan.
Hogan. Mr. T?
Mr. T, I was going to say
I can't say Mr. T is his greatest opponent.
It is, though, as far as making him famous. Are you doing exercises?
Well, I'm just, I don't know, it's right here. I'm just not really doing exercises. I'm just keeping busy while you talk.
Oh. Yeah, literally, that's something that, what is that, like some sort of...
Like a hand-squeezing gimmick.
Does it get rid of your stress?
Hmm?
Well, let me guess, it's 9:30 and usually you beat off a couple times by now?
That's why I put it
but
in
I'm
here.
Here. Oh, that looks painful.
No, there's lots of room.
It's true. It is almost, yeah.
And when I'm ready to be done.
All right, fix the computer.
Why?
And, yeah, good point. Roddy Piper, I mean, I guess Hogan.
Hogan's so, got to be in there, right?
Hogan's got to be. I think I have Hogan at one. Valentine 2, Flair 3.
And I would give honorable mention to Rick Rude.
Yeah.
I enjoyed him as Piper's opponent.
For sure. Piper had great work Rude, with Savage
Rude.
At one point.
How many times am I going to bring up Rude's Brood against Rowdy's?
Yeah, no, that's great. That's
seems
great.
Like that's all I've been talking about. It was on Vintage.
Next week, by the way, we're going to take this exact same list. Don't throw it out, okay?
Okay.
And we're going to do worst opponent.
Yes, okay, that sounds good.
The exact same guy.
Because
I know who I'll say I think Roddy's worst opponent was right away.
Okay, Lou Albano. But next one is Jake Roberts.
Yeah. Jake Roberts, Savage. It's kind of, I'm going back and forth with Savage and Steamboat.
Yeah.
Those are the two that to me, I probably go Savage. I go Savage.
Yeah.
Savage.
Steamboat, though, is definitely an honorable mention.
Honorable mention.
Again.
Honorable mention.
And, again, Ted DiBiase.
I think their matches were disappointing. I didn't think they had really good in-ring chemistry. I expected more out of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have too much the same style. They're both kind of a thinking man's wrestler, kind
That's
of hang
true.
Back a little bit.
Yeah.
So I didn't actually think that. I think Rick Rude definitely is feud with for the wife, with Rick Rude making advances.
Oh, Rude, yes.
Wife.
That's with Cheryl Roberts.
Cheryl Roberts, thank you. So that was something.
But he
that
had Cheryl Roberts on the front of his tights.
That's right.
Airbrushed on
and
his
fucking,
crotch.
Yeah, and he came out
awesome.
There and ripped them off.
Yeah.
And then they he was like in a Speedo or whatever, but they censored it so that it looked like.
Yeah, like he was naked.
Yeah. So that's probably number three.
Okay. What about Ted DiBiase?
Ted DiBiase. Randy Savage is way up there for sure.
Yeah.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah, Duggan from UWF.
From UWF. It's way up there. In fact, in many ways, that's probably, that you could definitely argue that's number one. Hogan.
Nice. Yeah. I would go Savage ahead of Hogan, though.
I probably would.
Started off as... I'm going to buy the WWF title from Hogan.
But I'm also looking at, like, the, you know, they've had tag title match later in Money, Inc. And,
wasn't good.
No, I guess not. I guess not.
Just because they had it.
Yeah. But,
Undertaker had Giant Gonzalez at that WrestleMania. We weren't naming him for nothing.
No, that's true.
But, it's with DiBiase.
So I go Savage, Hacksaw, then Hogan, probably.
Yeah, I guess Savage, I think Savage, yeah, Hacksaw.
Every single time they're in, but again, not enough matches and not real feud. Every time they're in the ring together, though, him and Brett, awesome.
I know, not enough, but yeah. Well, that Survivor Series roll-off.
Like, same thing, can't say anything, yeah, exactly. Can't say anything about Brett against Steamboat because not enough matches, but Jesus.
Yeah, but it was great, that Coliseum home video.
Yeah, just amazing.
But yeah, I'm trying to think of anybody else that DiBiase would have had, a really... good, because he went into that tag team, right, with Money, Inc. for that sort of 91-92 era until he left in 93. And I just, I mean, so those are the two names that there must have been something as Ted DiBiase in St. Louis that I'm forgetting.
I'm sure there is,
seen,
and you know what? I don't remember the matches being good enough, but I really enjoyed the feud with Dusty.
Yeah.
When he beat up Dusty's son, when he beat up Dustin,
yeah,
it meant something.
That is true, yeah.
So.
And he lasted 10 minutes with him.
Yeah.
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 That was great, yeah. So, yeah, Dusty's got to be probably number three then, I'm thinking, yeah.
Dusty's up there for sure.
Let's see. The Ultimate Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior's greatest opponent. Oh, that's really... It's Savage. It's Savage. It's Savage.
Okay, I was going to say Rick Rude. But ooh. Savage, to me, is the best match.
I think it's
Savage. I guess he's had two matches, though, because I forgot about Wembley, so...
Yeah, I'd say Savage.
Yeah. Then,
I'd say Savage, and then Rude. You're right, Rude definitely way up there.
Yeah.
And then nothing.
What?
Maybe Hercules
is snap the chain? The 15-foot chain? The Warrior snapped it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the Rude, I mean, both, like that pose down, remember that pose down angle?
Yeah, the Royal Rumble.
Rude against Warrior. Where, yeah, exactly. Rude is sure he's going to win it, and the crowd is cheering for Warrior.
Yeah.
And as he's losing, it takes the, his gimmick, his
yeah,
workout gimmick.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and it was the same thing you have right there, except for a man.
It's just a bar.
Man. Yeah, exactly, and he beats the shit out of Warrior with it. That's a great way to get heat, and it works, and they don't do shit like that anymore because nothing means anything.
On the Tales of the Jesse the Body Award, this
that's
Miami,
right. That's right.
Where,
yeah. Yeah, Rude, no, that's Rude's really close to Savage.
Yeah.
Savage.
Well, yeah, and I mean maybe three is Hogan. I mean,
no.
Hogan probably gets disqualified though because of that Halloween Havoc match in the One
Warrior exactly
Nation. Yeah, so
number three, I probably put is DiBiase.
If you, yeah, maybe.
Ted DiBiase.
When you say that, what about Andre? 10 seconds.
Ted DiBiase.
Yeah. But I mean, when you think of that Ric Flair song when he quote unquote retired, you know, is called Leave the Memories Alone.
Yeah.
You know, had they just done that and not had the One Warrior Nation,
you would have
said
even off
three
one match, you would have had Hogan.
Hogan would have been number
two
three
or number three.
He would have been number three.
Probably
but
number three,
still,
right, yeah.
But now it's all for naught.
Yeah.
What about Ravishing Rick Rude?
Oh, Ravishing Rick Rude.
I mean, I'd have to say Sting myself.
You know, Sting is definitely up there. They had some really good stuff there. Back, we used to watch on the Power Hour up here on TSN.
Yeah.
And they had really good stuff for the international heavyweight title, I believe.
Well, the international heavyweight title, they feuded for the U.S. title.
And him and Steamboat in WCW also.
Oh, yeah, they had that.
So fucking
Iron
good.
Man.
Iron Man, the first time I ever saw an Iron Man match.
Yeah.
30-minute Iron Man match they
and
had.
That beach blast.
And I believe Savage won it 3-2. Or not Savage, I mean Steamboat won it 3-2 after getting down 2-0, coming back to win 3-2, and it's just awesome.
Yeah.
So unique. So, I mean, those are two. You asked Sting, why the fuck didn't I say Foley? Why didn't I say Cactus Jack?
Because they didn't have enough matches. I mean, there was that Beach Blast. That was the main event.
And why would we say Foley? Do we not bring up Vader?
Actually, that is true. Yeah, I forgot. Because, you know why? Because just like the One Warrior Nation disqualifies Hogan, lost in Cleveland. Right? Disqualifies Vader.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That Sailor Jack or whatever the fuck
he was.
You're
probably right.
I think that's what it was. Is that that's what tainted it? Is that whole the shroud of that, right?
Yeah.
So, Rick Rude. I'm trying to.
I think Sting and Sav or Steamboat are the top two, and I probably go Steamboat number one for me, and then Sting, but and then I probably do go Roddy Piper over in WWE. I think that was probably his best.
Yeah, Roddy Piper.
Or Jake Roberts. I think the matches weren't as good against Jake. They really weren't very good matches, but the feud was great.
Yeah.
The characters were great.
Well, I think, I would go with Jake over Piper probably there. And I mean, I'd probably go Jake Warrior Piper if I was ranking the WWF stuff. But yeah, definitely. I think it's WCW to WCW.
They kept him away from Hogan. They didn't want that, which is too bad because that would have been... That could have been really interesting.
Well, part of that, though, too, was that Rude was coming at a time when the Warrior was the champion, right? So, I mean, there really wasn't ever, like, Rude and Hogan...
If they wanted to do it, they could have done it. They did.
They could have, because they had other things. That's all I'm saying. It's not like they went with, like...
Well, no,
they had nothing.
I think
they
really just... They didn't really want Hogan and Rude to throw it up. They really didn't. So, anyways, move on. What else you got?
Last one. Vader.
Vader. Oh, good fucking Lord. That's
it's easy to me, actually.
Sting is really up there.
Sting is the answer to me.
Yeah, Sting and him were Foley, Flair, but Sting was awesome. Shawn Michaels, say what you will, those were compelling matches.
Stay down! Elbow!
You know, really interesting stuff in Japan, too, though.
Shawn was such a dick. And Bam Bam Bigelow. I couldn't tell you who they were fighting, but...
But that was great stuff. And, you know, I mean, obviously he had this Stan Hansen, you know, that match where he lost it. His eye fucking popped.
Yeah, pops right out.
And, you know...
I mean, then you think of Cactus Jack and the ear.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Flair, again, not enough matches for me to be able to, to say that that's the problem there. Ron Simmons and Vader had some good stuff. I wouldn't put it up there.
He had some good stuff with Luger.
But I think Sting is the answer.
Sting had some good stuff with Luger, I gotta say.
Yeah, it's true. I think Sting is the answer, though.
I think probably Sting is the answer.
And,
Maybe unless there's something in Japan that we're just, you know, I think he and Kenta Kobashi had a 5-star match, and this was, I believe, after he left WWF. So I mean, that's probably up there. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
And I believe that's after Kobashi had the heart attack or whatever or something he had that caused him to change his ring style. He had to change his style because
cancer.
Was it cancer? I thought it was cancer later in the career.
Well, maybe that was just the latest
second time.
One, yeah.
There was something else that happened to him that caused him to change his ring style.
Obviously for the better.
Well, I think he was great before and great later. Equally good, but in different ways.
Yeah, I guess there's
kind of like Shawn.
Shawn Michaels, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, that's the
So save that, because I want to talk about their worst opponents in the show.
I'm just scratching out.
We've got an hour and a half. I have three email questions I want to do.
Okay, yeah, let's get the email.
And then I think we'll go out. We'll skip the other game we had, any other topics. So,
I don't think we have very many. I think, well, I should note before we do that question, is that the WrestleMania tickets topped over 10 million in a gate. They've sold just over 10,000 tickets to that MetLife Stadium. So a good first weekend for WrestleMania tickets. I just want to point that out. $10 million gate.
Yeah. Not, so. I mean, completely expected, though.
It is, but it just, I mean, just to...
It's just a note. Okay.
Just a note.
So I got a question from Ms. Mark Jr., and he was asking me why it is that we were talking about why is it that Ben was in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame instead of Henning and Owen.
Right.
And he said the difference is, of course, that Benoit has the scandal.
What scandal?
Yeah. But...
you mean when he killed Daniel and Nancy?
That one.
and then himself.
But Eddie Guerrero, he said, make an argument for me for Eddie Guerrero to be in over Owen or Kurt.
Dogs
Henning.
Were fine. They were in the garage.
What's his physical location? Oh, he's such a fucking asshole.
That's what I do.
Anyway,
would you just spell your question already?
So basically he's saying, why is it we're talking about, you know, the difference is Eddie, of course, died in a tragedy and nobody has anything bad to say about him. But really, he's basically asking, can you think of one reason why Eddie Guerrero would be in over Owen Hart or more so even Kurt Henning? Like, when I look at Owen, he's below Kurt Henning for me to get in. So I think all four guys should be in. Based on their careers.
Yeah.
But just based on the parameters they set out, I can't see one fucking thing that makes Eddie Guerrero in and Kurt Henning not. Not one.
Well,
not one.
No, it's equal to me. I mean, I think that when you talk about the only difference, I guess, that I could see, is that, it's a minor difference, but, and I guess it's not a minor difference, actually, so never mind. Because I was going to say that, like, Eddie was WWF, champion, or WWE champion, right?
For 1 month.
Two months? Three, maybe four.
Two. He won it 1 month before WrestleMania. He lost it 1 month after WrestleMania.
Is that when he lost? Okay, so 2 months then. Yeah, I thought he lost it a couple months after WrestleMania. But okay, maybe the one. I mean, it's
he lost it his first match to JBL.
Yeah, okay. So that would be the
and JBL held it for 11 months before losing to Cena.
Okay, so there you go. So, yeah, so he had it for that. How long did Henning
had it for about 6 months, 8 months. It was AWA title.
Yeah. So
both second generation, both equally good ring workers. In fact, if I'm going to take one, I take Henning, but both pretty much equal. Both equal probably fame. Both equal probably, in fact, Henning maybe a bigger drawing star. Both, you know, equally charismatic, good talkers. I can't see one difference. I can't see one. Both had long careers that span a long way. Both died too young. I can't see a single fucking difference.
No, I agree. Those careers, I think, parallel more than Benoit.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing you could say is that Eddie had more international, you know, Japan and of course Mexico. That Kurt was, you know, but Kurt was doing territory, you know.
He was
like
doing territory in a day when territories meant something.
Well, I don't know if it meant something. When was he the champion? 1988?
He was doing territory starting in the late 70s. Though.
Well, of course. But, I mean, he was a jobber on Madison Square Garden.
He was a jobber in Madison Square Garden.
But he wasn't.
You know, the first time he's facing Nick Bockwinkel for the belt is in 1983 for the world title. He's not winning it.
Yeah,
but
as
he's going 45
Larry, as the Axis. Sorry.
Yeah, but he's going 45 minutes with him in a 4.5-star match.
Just to get warmed up. No, I understand that. I'm just saying that in terms of his, when he's considered a name, I guess.
And Eddie's international wasn't nearly as...
Tiger Mask?
He wasn't there that long. He was there like a year.
Yeah, but he was still, he's large. Tiger Mask.
What did he win?
I don't know, a J-Cup?
Nope. Good try, but he didn't.
They have those.
Yeah. Super J Cup, actually.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
What does a J stand for?
let's ask Bruce Hart.
Yes.
Bruce? Bruce, what does the J stand for?
Super Jap Cup.
Bruce Hart, everybody.
Wow.
Bruce Hart called in. Who expected that there? Anything else you want to say? I'd like to say hello to you. Okay, I'm hanging up. I can't listen. That's pretty much the most intellectual conversation I ever had with him.
Yes, that's
so,
true.
That was from Ms. Mark Jr.,
that question.
Ms. Mark Jr. This next name asking this question, I kind of hate this name, but I'll say it anyways. It's from the Countertaker.
Oh, the Countertaker.
The Countertaker. And I don't know.
The Countertaker?
The Countertaker.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Countertaker.
he's asking us how long, he says, how long do you guys think that they should pre-book WrestleMania ahead of time? So what do you think? How many months ahead of time should they be making the card? And then, because we've talked before about them making the WrestleMania card and then booking backwards.
Yeah.
So how far ahead of time should we be looking at, in your opinion?
September.
September?
I think September is the time. Because I think September then, I mean, it's a little different now. When you had the two separate brands, when they were keeping them separate for that time, mm-hmm. and everybody at SummerSlam, Survivor Series, that's when you had the two co-branded pay-per-views. So it made sense where you could tease something like they did with Goldberg and Lesnar, right? They teased something at Survivor Series, the first confrontation. They built on it at the, you know, doing something, then acting on it at the next one, the Royal Rumble, and boom, there they are having a WrestleMania match, right?
Mm-hmm.
It all kind of made sense. But if you can figure it out in September, then, yeah, you can start doing some stuff at that Survivor Series, let's say, because you can have those. I mean, again, it's a perfect way to have those 10-man things be meaningful.
Well, you know, I think you just go WrestleMania to SummerSlam, and you book backwards from SummerSlam, or for back to, you know, and I think you go SummerSlam to WrestleMania and book backwards. So I think...
September, okay, after SummerSlam, is when you start to WrestleMania, and then after, then,
It just makes sense to me. That's your second biggest one. That's your SummerSlam of the summer. Or your
SummerSlam of the summer.
Your SummerFest.
Yeah.
But your WrestleMania of the summer, that's your second biggest show, or they consider it. I mean, technically it's the Royal Rumble, but yeah, I mean, that's to me what you do. You go from WrestleMania, you go to SummerSlam, and then SummerSlam to WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think that just makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
They'll never do it.
No, never. They're going minute to minute.
Yes.
They still have it. They probably, in the time of recording this podcast, have changed who's winning that belt 5 times on Sunday.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And Bob Backlund.
By the way, we should announce to everybody, if you're expecting live audio commentary or anything, it doesn't look like we're watching the Survivor Series. We'll probably watch some highlights later and catch up on it, but it doesn't look like we're going to watch it live. We will likely watch the UFC the night before.
Yeah, the night before.
There's a chance we'll do a live audio commentary for that, just for the fuck of it. But
yeah, maybe.
Who knows? Never thought about it, but no. Could do that. So, but we'll probably watch St. Pierre versus Condit.
Condit.
And the last, the Undertaker from that question. Hey. Thank you very much. Bitch Slap Buddy asked now that.
Not Bitch
Slap Billy. That almost was Billy Gunn's name that they gave him in WWE.
Instead of the one Billy.
Yeah.
Imagine what the music would have been, though, if he had been Bitch Slap Billy. That would have been worth it alone.
Yeah, just, Billy, you really suck. You absolutely suck. Just
no, there's his music.
Put that in
though.
A loop.
But just think of, like, what is, I'm an ass man, now it's like, gonna bitch slap you, or something. They would have come up with that. Because even his music is the one Billy Gunn
was like
the
same
like
bullshit,
right?
Yeah.
So that would have been awesome.
Yeah, yeah. His real name is Kip.
Kip Sopp.
Kip Sopp.
Monty.
Monty Sopp.
Not Monty Burns.
No. It's not that cool. All right, so Bitch Slap Buddy asks, now that AA Austin Aries is out of the world title.
A-double.
Well, he wrote double A, so.
Oh, right. That's Arn Anderson.
Yeah, you're right. That's Arn Anderson. But now the A-double is what he's trying to say. Austin Aries is out of the world title picture after Turning Point. What do you do with arguably the best performer in the company?
I team him with Tully Blanchard.
Or Larry Zbysko.
Or Larry Zbysko, the cruncher. What do I do with Austin Aries? Now, what I would...
Especially interesting considering the reaction he got at Bound for Glory over Jeff Hardy.
Yeah. I mean, but he's going heel. I mean,
he's staying heel.
But it seems if he wasn't going on a collision course, on a heel mentality, I would say AJ Styles.
AJ is actually who I would go to, too. I think AJ, since AJ's not going to be in the world title picture and AJ's on a losing streak, you're going to have 4-star-plus matches, and I think the idea that he's constantly beating AJ...
Yes, that's the slow simmer to make AJ go heel. AJ can go heel after the A-double.
Well, even if AJ doesn't go heel, you just make him a sympathetic baby face
who's
down on his luck.
No, those are losers.
No,
those don't. When has that ever got over?
When has it ever been done well?
It's one and the same. Because it can't be done well. Because as soon as you lose all the time, you're not sympathetic. You're just a fucking loser. Nobody cares a loser.
Nobody
cheers you.
Yeah, high five. That was good. That was good. anyways, but yeah, I do that. But I don't just go against AJ, though I do. I do that like 3-4 months.
Yeah.
But I team him with Kazarian and Daniels as a power trio.
Mm.
And I think their chemistry...
Like a new DX. Yeah.
I think their chemistry would be just fucking great together.
And
I make them a main event group. I think in them you could have a lot more interest and drawing ability and good matches than Aces and Ace, which is fucked up.
Yeah.
So I that's what I do. And I think also that way you can bleed Aries into AJ logically.
Well, the only reason I hesitate right now on that is because I do want to see Kazarian and Daniels get away from AJ. I just want to see that kind of stop.
I think it will anyways, because you have somebody else there, but...
But yeah, you could do that, and you could still... But you're right, it could be a logical situation where, I don't even know... And you don't even need a babyface group on the other side.
I do that. I'd put those three together. I think they'd be awesome together.
Yeah.
Personality-wise, as a heel group, and then... I have him against AJ, and then probably after that against Angle.
Yeah, and I think that would be good—a trio as a group. You don't need, it's easy. Like four is like the faction number yeah. kind of thing, but I think three is okay in this case.
Three is okay in this yeah. case. I think those three. I put those three as a main event group.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, give him Mickey James if you want to give him a valet, right?
Fucking but, right. Why not? Or Madison
Gail
Rain.
Kim.
Madison Rain. Gail Kim. Doesn't matter.
I'm just going to work her, right? So yeah. Gail Kim would be. Yeah. But Mickey James won the Battle Royal tonight.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's right. Impact well, tonight. We watched the first 15 minutes and said, fuck it. Let's watch Survivor Series.
Bored as
and then
hell.
We had to go. Yeah, it was just awful.
I mean, James Storm and Robert Roode cutting a promo. And I don't know that it was, it wasn't, I don't know that it was so bad, but no, the crowd was bad.
Oh, the crowd could not give a
and,
shit.
And that made
but
it
this
worse.
Is probably because this is taped the night after. This is taped on Monday. It's not live.
This one was Monday, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's taped the night after the pay-per-view. The crowd might be a little burned out, so.
Yeah.
You could sweeten it for fuck's sakes, though.
Well, I know, that's the thing. You got 4 days, but still, it was just no one could care, and that made it worse. I mean, it wasn't
it
great,
and
it's not a bad...
James Storm had the boo-boo face, like,
yeah.
Fuck, you've given me the world title, and now you take it away from me again. So he loses it to Rude.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, whatever.
Well, you know, Hogan is the god of wrestling, right? And you know what they say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
Yeah, no shit.
So...
No shit. But, all right, Hulk Hogan.
Aces and Eights. Did you watch the Aces and Eights attack on Sting?
No, I didn't see that, actually.
Very good. Very good. I'm liking Luke Gallows. Luke Gallows even has a good look as
the biker
there.
He does,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I've enjoyed...
He looks like a legitimately tough guy. He's
yeah.
charismatic. He's not a bad performer in the ring. He go pretty good. His match against Joseph Park at the pay-per-view, which I did see. It's the whole pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable.
What did you think about Turning match? Point as a whole?
Very, very solid event. Not spectacular, but main event very good. Samoa Joe versus Magnus, extremely good as well. Main event, best match in the show, but that was almost as good. The three-man match was good. I enjoyed Joseph Park. Nothing was bad. Like, I can't think of anything that was like, oh, that was awful. Like, you know, even the Eric Young and ODB mixed tag match against, what's his name?
Jesse
and Tara. Even that was fine for what it was.
For what it was, yeah.
So there's nothing bad. Nothing that blew my mind away, but some very good stuff. So, very solid, probably 7.5, 8 out of 10, somewhere in there. Very good.
Yeah, I thought that was probably, yeah, I would give it about an 8 out of 10. I thought it was a very good show. So, they just, yeah, it was just really, it was...
Too bad they just didn't seem to hold that momentum at all into this show tonight. But it's Thursday night, and they've already taped Thanksgiving, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, they had tapings 3 days in a row because of that. And, you know, give the guys a little bit of a break, which is good. The guys earned it. The guys deserve it. That's fine.
Yeah.
But they're putting on filler TV right now is what it feels like. So.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, Thursday, I mean, when is, correct me wrong, when is Wednesday Thanksgiving in the United States or is
Thursday?
So it is on Thanksgiving.
They know they're
going to
get like a point four.
Yeah, exactly. So that really doesn't. And then you've got football games on there.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, you're going to... do that. So, yes, because Survivor Series used to be on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
This is Thanksgiving night, Thanksgiving Eve tradition. Or,
that's right.
Was it a Thanksgiving night tradition?
They actually did do a Thanksgiving night the very first time.
Yeah.
And then they changed it to the night before.
Yeah.
Before going to Sundays, back to Sundays. So.
Yeah.
I think that's it, though. I think we're done for the night. I am ready to go OUT on this one. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. Rate us. You know, we're only number 6. What the fuck? What's the matter with you guys? Put us number 1. What else do you want to say to these assholes listening?
Fuck them. No. sorry.
We really appreciate you guys.
No, honestly, thanks everybody for listening, because that's when I clicked on that iTunes thing, we both at the same time went, holy shit.
Yeah, thank you. Other than that, Stitcher, Mo at We Talk Podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
We Talk Podcasts this week, like 6 podcasts and 4 blogs. Like fucking crazy content.
2 turtle doves.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah, that was your mom.
Yeah. The pear tree or the partridge?
Mm. Well, both.
Mm. She's a big woman.
She is. You know what that partridge is doing in her?
Mm.
Actually, I do, but I don't want to know.
You don't want to know.
No.
Yeah.
Addie, @WeTalkWrestling.com. We're at at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. You know, if you just type in We Talk Wrestling on Facebook, we've got a Facebook page there, so you can like that, sort of shows, blogs, and things kind of get posted to that as well, just so if you're on that, then you get an up-to-the-minute or up-to-the-second knowing of when things are posted on there as well. So that's kind of neat, and you can write comments on our pages.
You can tell me how much you love me, mm-hmm. and you can tell Addy how much you don't love him, because that he never gets over.
I never get over?
You never get over.
No?
No, loser.
Huh. Well, I don't want to do the ending now, then. All right.
In the meantime, in between time, that's it. It's a malfunction at the junction.
Yeah. Is that how it goes?
It is now.
In the meantime, in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.